Strike and Spare Family Fun Center Studio. It's a Bill King Show.
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals.
Go get it, dog.
I'm a man.
He had a voice that could make a Wolverine purr.
Hot is sitting on a firecracker.
And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
It's a fantastic day
for the United States of America.
It's a Bill King Show.
Red 7!
I don't know what Red 7 means.
Brought to you by Omni Nashville Hotel. Fifth Avenue, downtown.
Hot rock!
That's what we call a sack lunch!
They do have are a very particular set of skills. Skills that make me a nightmare for people like you.
Content. Blake, what went down with Eli Holstein? Not surprising necessarily, but what's the story there?
Really and truthfully, Bill, I mean, 4 years ago, Eli Holstein went to school at St. Thomas More in Lafayette, Louisiana, with another quarterback by the name of Walker Howard, the five-star quarterback that committed to LSU. Eli Holstein gets beat out in that competition. They moved to Zachary, Louisiana, and where he's had a really, really, really good career. Bill, I was always kind of known that Eli was not going to follow Walker to LSU, and I think it was, you know, a tough sell for any LSU coach, regardless of who it would have ever been. But Eli Holstein, you know, commits to Alabama, Bill, but, you know, I think the biggest thing out of all of this, at least for me, is that it's one school down for Arch Manning. I don't think, Bill, that Nick Saban allows Eli Holstein to commit publicly if there's a, you know, if I just don't think he allows him to commit publicly with him coming to town in a couple of weeks. So, you know, we'll see.
Is there bad blood, though, between Holstein and Walker Howard?
I don't know if there's bad blood between the kids. maybe there's bad blood between the families. But I just don't think that Eli was ready to go through something like that again. I'm not saying that Eli isn't better. I'm not saying any of that. I just know that there was some bad, you know. Bill, when you pick up and you move about two and a half hours away to play football, you pick up your entire life and you move, that should tell you something, you know. And so I don't want to say he wasn't ever coming to LSU, but as long as Walker Howard is at LSU, he won't be there.
What is Eli Holstein's comp? Who would you visually compare him with, skill-wise, etc., for the audience?
He's not this player. I mean, he's not this talented, but he's got the same body and build, and he moves the same as Andrew Luck. Like, Bill, he's not Andrew Luck, but he's a big, big, big kid. And he moves well, he takes a hit, he can throw well. He just mechanically, he does everything right. Again, he's not as talented as Andrew, in my opinion. Can he be? Maybe. But if there was a comp, you're getting a very just, you know, tactician. And Eli is that guy, but he's a very big body kid. A strong kid, fast kid, and a kid that can throw really well. But I would say, Bill, I don't mean this in the wrong way, maybe, I don't want to say a poor man's Andrew Luck, but he's in that realm. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Andrew with his build.
Any word on Arch Manning? Does he still take that Alabama visit?
Apparently so, Bill. We made some phone calls yesterday and talking to Newman coaching staff, and apparently he said he's still going to take the visit. The way that I understand it is Eli Holstein doesn't stop me from making my college decision. Good for them, I guess. But, again, I don't know. I mean, Bill, I mean, tell me if I'm wrong here. I mean, there's no way that the kid in Holstein and Nick Saban allows that to happen and him to commit if Arch Manning's coming. And really and truthfully, Bill, there's some things that we're hearing this week about Georgia about, you know, him not really wanting to play in that offense. Well, then it really kind of comes down to Texas at this point. I just can't envision it, this going down the way that it did without Nick Saban giving the go-ahead and approval. Just can't see it.
As of the other day, it was Georgia coming up a week out for his visit. Next week, Alabama. The next week, Texas. Florida and LSU ought to get a visit. Is there anything new with Florida and LSU, date-wise?
Bill, no. At least from not an LSU. I don't know about – I can't speak about Florida, but I know from an LSU perspective, no. I think, like we talked about a couple of weeks ago, I still think he's going to wind up in one of those camps. I don't know if he's going to compete and throw and all that kind of stuff, but there's a huge weekend. I want to say the fourth week of June or the last week of June or the first week of July, but July is a dead period. So I think it might be that last week in June, Bill. But no, there's nothing else new on the LSU front for March. Bill, quite honestly, I still think LSU's focus at this point from a quarterback perspective is Dante Moore, the Rashada kid from California, or obviously Arch if he was ever, I guess, really willing to come to LSU, which won't happen.
What's amazing is the crescendo in recruiting for centuries was January, because you were leading up to the February 1st Wednesday signing, and you would take your last three. If you were a name player, three of your five at least would be somewhere down the stretch in January. And those could be very impactful. Now, for whatever reason, the calendar, it's June. It's amazing the way this has changed.
I mean, Bill, I took my business in January. We went to, it's crazy you say it like that. We went to, I think, ULM, Louisiana Tech, Tulane, and Southeastern. We went to four. And it's crazy. I mean, Bill, it's nonstop during the summer. And I think, you know, with the college football playoff the way that it is and things that are going on, early signing period, you know, Bill, if Arch Manning wants to sign and enroll early, then, which I don't think Isidore Newman will allow him to do that. I think, you know, Bill, a lot of private schools won't allow you to do that, but we'll see. I don't know. It's constantly going up. So I don't know if they're going to how they're going to change all that, but Bill, I don't like I got to be honest, Bill. I don't like the two signing days or make them different, do something. But I don't know.
If the SEC goes to a 1-7 or a 3-6 format, and that's apparently what they're down to for the future of the schedule, 1 permanent, 7 rotating, 3 permanent, 6 rotating, 8 versus 9. But if it's 1 team, who is LSU's permanent every year opponent?
I can't say Alabama. I can't say A&M.
Alabama would be Auburn.
Right. Arkansas. But, I mean, it's Arkansas A&M's. I mean, maybe they'll give them Texas. I don't know if LSU has that one. I mean, you can't do Ole Miss, Mississippi State. Bill, you got the Golden Boot trophy. I mean, but again, LSU and Arkansas is not the biggest rivalry for them anymore. It's just, you know, when I was growing up, Bill, and Darren McFadden was running all over us, and the white boy Peyton Hillis was running all over us, and
Felix Jones.
I mean, Bill, that rivalry was when I was growing up, Bill, the biggest rivalry we had was Arkansas. Okay, and you know, when they went down, so did that rivalry. So I would assume maybe Arkansas, but, I mean, does Arkansas feel that way? But Bill, I kind of want this. I don't know what I want.
Well, I mean, you got to keep Oklahoma and Texas together. So who's A&M's partner there?
It's true. It's true. I mean, maybe you can give LSU and A&M, but Bill, again, that doesn't move the needle for an LSU fan. I mean, it has in the last couple of seasons, but Bill, when you're going 6-6 and you're being Texas A&M and everybody's calling saying you stink, and but you're still being A&M, it's not who they would want. Who they want and who they're going to get is not going to happen. But Bill, did you see the projection from Ross Dellinger of the three teams that they gave? I mean, it still feels like somewhat of a pod system if you have three permanent opponents, right?
I mean,
you're just not calling it a pod system at that point. But if you still have three permanent opponents, I mean, why not call it a pod? I mean, it's kind of crazy to me.
According to that article, the league is dead even between those two models. But the article also said that their prediction is the 3-6 will win out.
Bill, I agree with that. I feel the 3-6 is gonna win out, right? I mean, because I think is LSU the only team in this situation? I don't know. I mean, but maybe they are. But I like the 3-6. I want some permanent opponents. I don't want you to. But I really just don't want LSU or Alabama going away. Now we might look up in 20 years and that might change, like LSU and Arkansas. But, I mean, if you're asking me right now, I don't want LSU-Alabama going away. I don't want LSU-Auburn going away. Obviously, at least from, like, my mom and my dad's generation, they definitely don't want LSU and Ole Miss going away. Like, that would be theirs. So, we'll see. But I would rather the 3-6.
Going to be interesting. Well, here's the other thing. You've got to take into consideration the expansion of the playoffs, which is going to happen once they get over their little feud here. It may be 4 years down the road, but it's 4 years down the road as of right now that Texas and Oklahoma's coming into the league. But if you go to nine league games and you lose that bye game, that BUY game that you pay $500K or $1 million to bring a team in to beat, and they don't expand the playoffs, what are you going to do? It's going to be tough to get Alabama and Georgia in every year.
True. And, Bill, I think, this was what was a concern for, like, FCS AD, is that you get rid of them, but you also get rid of, like, the LSU-USC that you'll have next year, too.
Blake, tell everybody how they get your content.
AY Sports Across the Board. And as always, Bill, thank you so much for having me.
Appreciate it, man. See you next week.
Thanks, Bill. See ya.
There he is, Blake Ruffino. Market's down a little bit. Dow down about 137, the futures. All right, we're clear. We are clear, so let's hang it. Let's see what we got. Let's see what kind of substance comes out of this next hour and a half or so. Hour 40, whatever we've got. Omni.
Good morning. They're trying to clear up a couple of wrecks on 24 East and westbound near Bell Road, Hickory Hollow Parkway. They're not really blocking traffic. It's just really saturated trying to get up through there, especially westbound 24 coming out of Rutherford County up through this section of Davidson County. Watch your speed. I-40 coming through parts of Mount Julian. Gatlinburg Wine Cellar, home of the world-famous cotton candy wine. Check them out at gatlinburgwinecellar.com. I'm Commander Chuck. You're on time traffic.
Hey, it's Patton Cook from Run With It. Let me tell you about my friends over at Smiles by Design. Dr. Dwayne Jones and his team focus on providing you with personalized, gentle care that you deserve. Smiles by Design are one of the few practices that offer state-of-the-art, needle-free cavity fillings. I started going to Dr. Jones 2 years ago, and he has completely changed my smile. They are located at 105 Threat Industrial Boulevard, Unit 1001 in Smyrna. You can visit their website at drdwaynejones.com for more information, or you can call them at 615-355-1033. Again, their number is 615-355-1033. Or you can search for them on social media at Smiles by Design. So be sure the next time you're looking for dentistry services, give my friends over at Smiles by Design a try. And don't forget to tell them Patton sent you.
You may think every weather app is the same until you see WeatherBug over-deliver on so many layers. With more free map layers than any other weather app, WeatherBug warns you the moment lightning strikes near you, prepares you for your commute with road conditions, routes, and even cameras. With everything from pollen and air quality to severe storm risks, radar, and satellite coverage, WeatherBug prepares you for the unpredictable. Download the WeatherBug app, trusted by over 10 million users, today for free.
Anywhere fans go to cheer on their team, there are behind-the-scenes MVPs, ensuring everything is game day ready. We see you, Joe, fixing seats so every fan can enjoy every game. And Allie, who keeps her stadium running smoothly from the moment the first game starts to the last play of the season. At Grainger, you're our MVPs, and we're always here for you with supplies and solutions for every industry and 24/7 customer support. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jim Rome is here weekdays 11 to 2 on Nashville Sports Radio, WNSR.
The SEC is for closers, and there's only one way to survive in the SEC, ABC. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
A, B, C. A, always, B, B, C, closing, always be closing.
Jim Rome, 11 to 2 on Nashville's original Sports Radio, WNSR.
Gives you a wide latitude on topics because Bill King isn't afraid of your telephonic interaction. 615-844-5600.
During the show, folks, I don't have on some sports network on the TVs. I have on the financial networks. I've got enough sports. I can handle all the sports we've got. Financial shows is what I put up on the screen. You know how you'll see guy doing a show and there'll be a TV and it'll be like Sports Center. That's embarrassing. What good does that do you? Or show your audience that you've got some geeky, mouth-breathing Sports Center on. Like, I'll show you how big of a fan I am. I've got Sports Center on. I don't even know if Sports Center is on anymore, is it? I couldn't even tell you. It's so rotten and so bad. Couldn't even tell you. The non-playing portion of the season, I absolutely love. Playing portion of the season, when it comes, makes it even better for me now, because it's time. It's time to get the sodium pentothal out. It's time to learn the truth, because the games, the scoreboard, that don't lie. That's the judge and the jury. But I like both, and the non-playing portion always has plenty of content for us. I'll repeat, back in 2020, the spring, when everybody was worried about cancellations and worried about who's going to play, I said, first of all, I don't think they're going to shut down football. They're just not going to do that. And I had a lot of people against me on that one, which felt wonderful. Being alone and being right is a beautiful feeling. Being confident about it and being dead on right about it is a wonderful feeling. And I remember saying, look, okay, for you shut it down people, for your group, which I am not part of your group, if they do what you think they're going to do and what you hope they're going to do, we will not struggle with content here. That's not a problem. At no point did I worry about what are we going to do? How are we going to fill up the space? There's plenty to talk about. There's plenty to get into. I knew we weren't going to be faced with that overall. Wasn't worried about that at all. But I just wanted to tell everybody, if indeed you shut down, crew, you get your way, we'll be just fine. I am not worried about any of that. Matter of fact, it would have been interesting. Wonder what, if, let's just say at the very end, the SEC caves, which there's no way that was going to happen, but for the sake of this conversation, they cave. That's it. Once they cave, you've got no college football season, right? Last to cave, but they cave. What would the conversation be? I'll tell you what the conversation would have been. It would be me blasting the SEC. That's where the conversation at least would begin. It would be me lambasting the SEC. It would be me loathing the SEC for succumbing to that. That would have been a pretty lengthy conversation. That would not have just lasted a day or an hour. That would have lasted a while. Yeah, I would not have, you Big Ten fans who obviously aren't led at all, when you were shut down, I would have not even paid attention. That wouldn't have been a thing. I would have gone straight for the SEC. This whole thing about loving the SEC. My love for the SEC is not unconditional if they pulled a stunt like that. No, it would have been absolutely attack mode on the SEC. That was not going to happen, but just for the sake of what if. What would you have done, Bill? That's exactly what I would have done. It would have been heavy attack mode. And if I'm alone there, that's fine too. I had somebody who, Cosby Cattleman yesterday said, Bill, you don't get a lot of Auburn calls. No, we don't. Now, an Auburn fan tweeted yesterday, Bill, you better watch out. Cosby Cattleman may take your slot. It was an Auburn fan. He's so good when he calls in, Bill. You better watch out. He may take your slot. We could run a best of. Just, there's so much Cosby Cattleman content through the years. If we ever wanted to, let's say we're going to be off a day, which is very rare. Monday coming up is one. We could fill easily 3 hours with just nothing but Cosby Cattleman clips. Wouldn't matter the rhyme or the reason or the year or the topic or wouldn't matter at all. Just randomly put it all together to fit the content needed for 3 hours. And it would hold up. It would easily hold up. Probably Black, too. Now, Black, there's not as much content because Black started calling during the SiriusXM days. And as of about a year ago, we have not heard from him. As of about July of last year, we have not heard from him. And Tom in Myrtle Beach said that it's his understanding that Black has become disenchanted with the media or something. And he's kind of withdrawn. Now, I don't know. Somebody was saying he might be on a message board occasionally, a Buckeye board. So maybe that happened to him. 614 Rob up in Ohio. Bill, listening to local radio with Ryan Day. The discussion was about the role of analytics with every program now having analysts. How important has analytics become? I don't think, now, obviously in baseball, that's kind of the impetus, right? But analytics has jumped into most every sport. I think it depends on the coach. Now, Ryan Day's a young guy, relatively young guy. He's certainly not what you would say old school. And I would think it would depend on who you've got. Now, what's more important? This is a debate that will always be alive. What's more important, analytics or the head coach's decision-making ability based on his mental horsepower? His coaching mental horsepower. That means dude makes decisions and it works out. Dude always analyzes, not looking at somebody's stat sheet. By virtue of historical feel for the game, and always seems to make the right decision, makes the right move. In game, seems to always analyze and make the right move. More times than not. That's the battle. And I don't think football is so much analytics as let's say, baseball can be. Not saying that some individual coaches won't, but I mean, if you're Ohio State, do you really need analytics with that offense you've got? I mean, pitch it to your superstar tailback. Get your quarterback, put him in the pocket or roll him out. Throw to any number of receivers. I don't know what you need. But, I mean, if you're Ohio State, your play call sheet is about as open as it could be, right? You're not limited. Like, okay, we better not do this. We don't do this very well. What is it that they don't do well on offense? But yeah, that I'd like to hear that. I didn't obviously hear the interview you did, but I'd like to hear his thoughts on that. I really would. But I don't think in football, at least all the coaches that I deal with or talk to, that never comes up. Now, yes, Nick and a lot of coaches now employ a whole lot of analysts and their office that are not on the field coaches. They are strictly football analysts, and maybe they have maybe you're the quarterback guy, maybe you're the offensive coordinator analyst, maybe you're an opponent analyst. Depends on what your job description is. Maybe you're a recruiting. Maybe you're a transfer portal guy. That's your job, is to continuously evaluate what's out there, and then probably, since everybody's tampering, how can we get to this guy over here and tell him Alabama would be interested? Because that's going all way up. Yeah, people aren't waiting for the portal. Oh, guess what I saw in the portal today? No. That's not when you knew about this. Oh, this guy just fits our description. I'm going to see if he's interested. If that's where you're at, you're too late. Seriously, if that's where you are at, you are too late. If it's jump in the portal, you're shocked they're in there, and now you're going to reach out. Your opponents have already been reaching out. You're way behind. You're way behind in that fight. Now, that's interesting from 614 Rob. Did Ryan Day say that? Now you have analytics, but then you have analysts. And sometimes those aren't the same thing. They could be, but sometimes they're not. And obviously, the one who has the reputation for it is Nick, but he's not the only one doing it. He may be the one that's doing it more so and has more people. Do they have a list? Have you seen a list? Which coach, which football program has the most behind-the-scenes analysts? Because there used to be a rule against that. There's no rule anymore. Do whatever you want. You want to spend the money, spend the money. That transition, what do they call that committee that's been looking at the future of college football? We were talking about this a few weeks ago. They were discussing, or are discussing, the future of coaching rosters. And basically making maybe coaching rosters unlimited. See, there's still a limit. You're allowed 10 on the field coaches, including the head guy. part of the transition committee led by Greg Sankey was looking into pulling the limits from coaching staffs. Now, you have to have the resources to pay for all that if you're going to expand out. But that means you could expand beyond 10 if they do end up adopting that someday. Here's the other question. At what point do you have too many? At what point do you lose your organizational skills because you've got X number of coaches? Is it necessary? Is 10 plenty? What could you use? I know some. Here's an interesting theory through the years talking to coaches. And let's get in the trenches. Let's go O-line, though. There are some coaches who absolutely insist on having two offensive line coaches. One for the interior, one for the tackles and the tight ends. Now, I don't know if that's – it's not 50-50 that way. Most have one offensive line coach. You've got GAs that help out too, but I'm talking about hired, salaried coaches under your 10 limit. And I know some coaches – I believe DiNardo was like that. Talking to him back in around 1990, he was a guy that I believe had two O-line coaches. Thought it was very important. There are others that don't like that. They like the cohesion of all five being under the same guy. So it depends on the school, depends on the head coach, depends on the offensive line coach. But that is something that some coaches prefer. Wonder if Iowa, I've never checked with Ferentz or Wisconsin, do they have one O-line coach or a couple? I'm talking about not GAs. Because those are schools known for developing, road grading, lining up, mashing people, and putting people in the pros. Notre Dame's known for that. And they've got Harry Hiestand back. Obviously, Alabama's had a lot of really good offensive lines through the years, through many, many years. Georgia. Under Fulmer, Tennessee, for a while, was known to have big, strong, physical offensive lines. For some reason, that slipped down the last few years under Fulmer. But for a while, they had some outstanding talent. Remember that one year? Now, this is when Fulmer was the O-line coach. They had two players taken in the top 10 of the draft. Antone Davis and Charles McCray. Both offensive tackles. Neither had the pro career that aligned with where they were drafted, but they were drafted both in the top 10. Charles McCray was 6'7", 310, whatever. Davis was 6'4", 330. This is in 1989. And Fulmer was the architect of that. That was his side of the ball. Matter of fact, he was the coordinator too. But O-line was his specialty. If you go back that far. Let's take the break. We're coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. I'm looking at a crash on 65 northbound, just north of OHB in the Brentwood area. As you leave Brentwood, headed towards Nashville on 65 northbound, it's running really slow, backing it up into Williamson County because of this crash. It's busy now, 65 south at Trinity Lane. Mermaids return Memorial Day weekend to Ripley's Aquarium. Check them out online at ripleysaquariumofthesmokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
These days, it's getting harder and harder to find savings. But you may have more cash than you realize in your home's equity. Unlock it today with a cash-out refinance from Rocket Mortgage. In the last year, average home values have gone up nearly 20%. That means you could unlock thousands of dollars from your home. And with Rocket Mortgage, you could get all that cash in as little as 3 weeks. Put your hard-earned money to work. Pay down high-interest debt and combine your balances into one simple low monthly payment. Now is your perfect opportunity to take control of your financial future. So what are you waiting for? When you want to consolidate debt and simplify your finances, Rocket can. Call 8338-ROCKET today or go to rocketmortgage.com to get started. That's 8338-ROCKET or go to rocketmortgage.com. Rocket.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender license in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. Call 800-490-1233 for disclosures and cost information.
Hey, Nashville. Ray here from Run With It. Let me tell you about our sponsor, Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House. And with four locations in Bellevue, Murfreesboro, Spring Hill, and East Nashville, they're your home for the best gourmet pizza and craft beers in Music City. Join me on Monday nights at the East Nashville location for poker night. And if you think you know everything, try Wednesday night trivia at both locations. Gourmet pizzas, craft beers, online at boombozz.com. Boom Boss Craft Pizza and Tap House.
Here at Total Wine & More, you'll find what you love and love what you find, especially our totally low prices.
My friends and I are hanging out this weekend, and I'm on cooler duty.
Well, these seltzers and canned cocktails, they'll make you the king of the cooler.
Oh, that sounds good. Wow, I can fill my cooler without emptying my wallet?
Find what you love, love what you find, only at Total Wine & More. Pickup and delivery available at TotalWine.com. Drink responsibly, be 21.
Your exclusive Nashville Sports Radio WNSR Sky Scan forecast. For this morning, mostly sunny, a slight chance of showers, high near 84. Tonight, mostly cloudy, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms, low around 68. Utilizing the resources of the Weatherbug Network on Nashville Sports Radio, I'm WNSR's Chris Stone.
Sports Radio WNSR.
Nobody knows more about college football history than Bill King.
SEC tournament resumes today. A lot of rain, delays, everything on Tuesday. Alabama won, Florida won, Vandy won. Vandy feeds into Tony Vols. Vandy used their stud freshman, by far their best pitcher, Carter Holton, to beat Ole Miss. I don't think he's given up a run. And is it 30 innings or something? Somebody throw the stat out. I don't know that I got the innings right. True freshman out of Savannah. Brian in our audience over there, his son played on the baseball team at St. Benedictine there in Savannah with Carter Holton. So he's been talking to me about it for a while. And he's a lefty. Not a real tall guy, maybe 5'11", 6 foot, real thick. Got a cannon and has a assortment of pitches to go along with 97-ish on the fastball when he wants it. Lefty. And Ole Miss didn't have much for him. Ole Miss has been playing some good ball, too. Didn't have much for him. Matter of fact, nobody's had much for him the last couple of games he's pitched. What do they do? And I don't even know what Tennessee's plans are. By the way, that Tennessee-Vanderbilt game probably won't even get started tonight until about 8. That's Central time. If you're on Eastern, about 9. There's other games that start this morning at 9:30, and that's with the weather cooperating. And I haven't heard from any of our Alabama guys yet. What's the weather supposed to be like there in central Alabama, in the Hoover, Birmingham area? I know down southwest of there, there's a big line of storms that have been coming through. But I don't know what that means for Birmingham right now. And if that's the case, then it's all going to get pushed back even more. No telling. No telling what's going to happen. We'll take a call. Jim down in lovely Jupiter. Welcome in, sir.
Yo, Billy, analytics said that Reggie Bush should have been in that play against Texas, and you know how that worked out.
I wonder who said we're better off on fourth and short if Reggie sits on the sidelines? Who came up with that one?
Yeah, some nerd had some spreadsheet that, you know, put in the numbers and said, hey, they'll never expect that, you know, with Reggie Bush not being in there, that this play, and wow, that worked out great.
They handed it to Lindale White. They handed it to Lindale White, who I think lost yardage.
Yeah, he got stuffed. And I'll tell you, you never take the ball out of your best player. You never, or at least have him on the field as a decoy. What a dumb play.
Correct.
So, Billy, I got a question for you. Have you followed this story? I think it was Pete Thamel wrote about how Scott Strickland, the great Gator AD who sucks, how he wants to have a SEC-only playoff as the playoff is going on. Did you read anything about that?
I didn't. That's interesting. I know nothing of that.
I'll send it to you. I got to get into it more and more deep. But I guess I don't know if it's the teams that don't get in the playoff. They have their own playoff going on at the same time. It's just ridiculous. I mean, you know, I get that the SEC is ticked off that other conferences didn't go along with the 12-team playoff yet, you know. But, I mean, they're the power, but they do not get to say everything. And this is just they're being babies, and you got big old Scott Strickland, horrible AD, should have been run, should have never been hired. He comes up with this idea of having an SEC-only playoff. It's laughable. I'll send it to you, but I was hoping, you know, you get a chance, read about it and tell me what you think. But, like, a lot of SEC people are even like, this is just a ridiculous thing that they're even proposing.
Yeah, I'm not familiar with it. I'd have to see it to even understand what the thinking is.
Well, the thinking is at the same time, that, you know, you're not going to play by our rules, so we'll pick up our ball and we'll do our own thing. And everybody's going to be interested in this, you know, SEC mini playoff. It's stupid. But I'll send it to you, my friend. If you get a chance, just read it over.
Appreciate it, man.
Take care.
All right, I just searched this. This is a tweet from On3. Quote, the possibility of the SEC staging its own college football playoff will be on the table in Destin. Quote, an SEC-only playoff is a different idea that we should absolutely consider as an option. Florida AD Scott Strickland said. Wow. Tell you what, we're up against it. Let me read through this. The host of the show can read through tons of content in seconds and absorb it. I can just blink. I can just take a picture and it's done. It's done. I'll look through this and see if I can make some sense of it. My initial hunch would be this is just silly talk. But let me look in here. So if you don't want to expand, or these other leagues don't want to at least now comply with your ideas, even though they do agree with you, let's just exclude them and have our own playoff? Is that... So no Ohio State, Alabama, no Georgia, Michigan, no none of that, right? No LSU, Clemson. Is that what you tell? No Florida State, Auburn. Circa 2013, January of 14. Is that what you mean? No Auburn, Oregon, circa 2010. No Alabama, Notre Dame. Notre Dame's not in a league, though. No, actually, Swarbrick is with the SEC on this. So maybe Notre Dame gets to play. All right, let's get the break. Coming right back. Omni Nashville Hotel.
Good morning. I'm looking at a crash on 65 northbound, just north of OHB in the Brentwood area. As you leave Brentwood, headed towards Nashville on 65 northbound, it's running really slow, backing it up into Williamson County because of this crash. It's busy now, 65 south at Trinity Lane. Mermaids return Memorial Day weekend to Ripley's Aquarium. Check them out online at Ripley's Aquarium of the Smokies.com. I'm Commander Chuck with your on-time traffic.
Hayes Nissan of Rivergate is not the only choice when it comes to buying, selling, or trading your vehicle, but it is the best choice. Located at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison, Hayes Nissan of Rivergate has been serving the Middle Tennessee community for over three decades. That gives you confidence that Hayes Nissan of Rivergate can find the perfect vehicle for your lifestyle and your budget, and their friendly and knowledgeable staff will make sure you are in the right hands. If you're feeling rugged, check out their brand new Titans, or you might be feeling sporty and want to check out the all-new Maximus. And don't forget about their award-winning parts, service, and body shop. They have everything you need to get you back on the road. Go visit them on the web at nissanofrivergate.com, where they are open 24/7 or in person at 1550 Gallatin Pike North in Madison. Or if you want to give them a call, it's easy at 615-865-7220. Again, that number is 615-865-7220. That's Hayes Nissan of Rivergate, where your dollar always goes farther.
From the big game to the big dance, Bar Lines at the Omni Nashville Hotel downtown is your game day and watch party headquarters. Don't worry about entertaining guests and trying to feed everyone. Sit back, relax, cheer on your team, and let the Bar Lines staff take care of you. Grab a Bar Lines signature cocktail and enjoy some Wid Devils or a Bar Lines double stack and finish it off with some Jack and Coke chocolate cake. Bust your belly and your bracket at Bar Lines, located in the Omni Nashville Hotel, 5th Avenue downtown.
Do you find yourself looking for new and exciting things to do locally with your family during the hot summer months? Thanks to Strike and Spare, you don't have to look any further. Sign up today for Kids Bowl Free. Kids Bowl Free is a summer pass where your kids 15 and under receive two free games of bowling every day. You can also purchase a family pass that allows you to join in on the fun. Visit any of the five local Strike and Spare locations at Hendersonville, Donelson, Hermitage, Tusculum, and Murfreesboro, or visit kidsbowlfree.com/Strike and Spare and sign up today. Strike and Spare, where fun is bowling.
It's the Bill King Show.
Whether you like Alabama or not, you're witnessing an unparalleled, unprecedented run. You're living it. You're watching it. You have memories that are deep of it. To be that dominant, you don't get to see that through the years that much. But this right here is crazy. This right here is off the chart. Can't believe it's happening, and they're not slowing down.
Weekday mornings beginning at 6 on Sports Radio 560 on 95.9 FM.
Bill King is the mother 12th data point of college football.
Shut up on this. Makes no sense. I think this is just Sankey and the SEC putting out stuff just to put it out. Maybe saber-rattling a little bit. According to this article, the SEC will invest, and among other items that they will discuss, but an SEC only, as Jim and Jupiter just brought up. I had not seen this prior. An SEC only postseason tournament. And he calls it, now Sankey calls it blue sky thinking, which kind of tips me off here. But they obviously want this out to the public, and they want the other leagues to see this. So a little saber rattling here. Because, again, they're the ones proposing the 12-team playoff. And the other leagues who were all gung-ho, now because of Texas and Oklahoma, are backing up a little bit just to slow it up, just because. And it's about money and everything else. Anyways, so back to the league-only postseason. They're saying maybe an 8-teamer. Maybe after that, the winner plays the winner of the Big Ten, or maybe somebody from the Alliance, or it even says, or maybe they get mad and nobody plays the SEC. That's it. Yeah, that sounds like pure saber rattling. The best to do that was Mike Slive. Mike Slive would throw things up all the time. in public for the purpose of, we don't really want to do this, but we will do it. If you back us into a corner and we don't get what we want, we will do this. So this is his boss, Greg Sankey's boss, longtime boss, Mike's Live, probably taught him this. Throw it out there. It's preposterous. First of all, one of the big complaints about the playoffs is you're playing too many games. So let me get this straight. You play 12 SEC games. You play an SEC championship game. Is that right? Or not? I don't think they're going to do away with that. And then you play a 8-team playoff. And then if the other leagues are into it, you play somebody from one of the other leagues who won a tournament of their own. How many games is that? That's a whole lot of ball games, right? Or it's a ton. That's third. If you play a league championship game, which again, I don't know how you do that, and then go to a tournament. Well, Bill, you go to a 4-team tournament right now. True, but they're talking about a league only 8-team tournament. Again, would that replace the SEC championship game? I don't think they've ever wanted to do that. They've never won it. That's the best championship game in college sports. So I don't know that they'd want to do away with that. That'd be idiotic. That's 13 games. And then you've got an 8-teamer. That's 3 more games for some. For 2 teams, that's 3 more games. So that's 15. Then if all the other leagues are still being friends with you, you play somebody from the Alliance or somebody from the Big Ten or the winner of Clemson, Ohio State, Southern Cal, what do you do there? That makes no sense. It's here. They say they're going to be talking about it. This has got to be saber-rattling. This cannot be for real. I mean, they want you to think it's for real. But I just don't see it. Particularly if it was an 8-teamer. Tom in Myrtle Beach. SEC playoffs means Ohio State needs to join the SEC immediately. That would be so pretty. That'll never happen, but I would laugh so hard at that incompetent Big Ten front office if something crazy like that. You may say, well, Bill, you probably didn't think Oklahoma and Texas would come either, did you? No, but that league has always been shaky for at least the last 10, 12 years, right? Since the summer of 2010, it's been somewhat shaky. Big Ten's always been way more complete, way more sturdy, way more resourceful, if you will. But that would be funny. If we could get Tom's dream there to come true, that would be comical. I would welcome that. We you know what we do? We just not even wait for the show to start. We just start the show. That would be hilarious. Plain Kiffin, Bill, did you see this? Yes. At Hoover, Alabama last night, the Ole Miss barstool guy, calls himself Mincy, approaches the Vandy Whistler. Now, there are two of them, but he found one of them. I don't know which one it was. And you can pull this up. It's all over Twitter. And there's some F-bombs in there. I thought about sending the audio to Patton, but editing and it, yeah, there's some choice language here. We can't get that on the air. But it's pretty funny. I'm not really as anti-Whistler as a lot of people who aren't Vandy fans are. I really don't care. Doesn't bother me, but it bugs the crap out of people. It really does. So he goes into some Vandy fans and starts pointing a finger and screaming and calling the Whistler a disgrace. And Vandy fans responded, scoreboard, and there were some F-bombs in there. Yeah. Go to Twitter and search either M-I-N-T-Z-Y. That's the Ole Miss guy, I believe. Isn't he? Think so. Or just search the Whistler, and then that video clip, audio, will come up. Now, if you're around some kids, there's some F-bombs in there, so be careful. Yeah, be careful. Hour 3 coming up. Omni.